run the intro, sorry. Oops. What's poppin'?
Go for it. Nobody knows the words, just go for it.
Did you hear Corey's celebrity net worth?
How much?
What would you guess?
Negative something.
I was going to guess like $2 million. Oh, I said $3 million, didn't I?
Did you?
I was
going to
guess $3 million because I figured he would claim that because it's not so huge that it's impossible, but still makes him sound like he has some money.
Yeah.
And you figure he's lying, so it's probably more like $1 million, but that's still a millionaire.
Yeah.
And he knows people are going to think he's lying.
Well, he has popped up on things, and he's probably got, I don't know.
He got paid $50,000 for Surreal Life. That's the last known paycheck he got.
Well, yeah. Well, besides the one where he performed at the minor league baseball stadium for, what, $200 maybe?
Oh, my God. This poor, I actually feel sorry for him the more I think about it. It's so pathetic. He's not a kid anymore. He's a middle-aged man. And he doesn't... I just don't think
Why do you feel bad for him?
Because he still thinks he's a star.
Well, yeah, because people like the Today Show will put him on there when he's clearly not a star.
I think Today Show did that, and they knew exactly what was going to happen. I really do.
I would like to
think
so.
I think they knew he was going
to
be humiliated, but they just thought it'd be kind of funny.
I don't know. Billy Bush seemed into it. After all, he had his poster up when he was a kid.
Jay just found the lowest celebrity net worth I've ever seen. Sometimes they'll put a negative number, like if somebody's in debt.
Yeah, we had someone with a negative number the other day.
It was minus $500,000, Jay. Remember?
I don't remember either.
The lowest celebrity net worth.
Was it John Gosselin? Was he negative?
He might have been.
Boy, I don't know.
Let's look up John Gosselin. The lowest celebrity net worth I've ever seen in the positive is Corey Haim, who's dead, but his celebrity net worth is $5,000.
Oh, man.
What, they have his checkbook?
Oh, man. Oh, you know what? I remember the low one. It was it Leif Garrett?
John Gosselin's $10,000. Leif Garrett was negative, I think.
I think it was Leif.
And whatever he's negative, Rolo's positive. Leif's celebrity net worth is $1,000.
Oh, Leif.
Where are they getting these people's checking accounts?
Oh, poor Leif.
Can you put Roland in there?
Oh, he's Roland in the money. He's rolling in Leif's money.
Roland Winkler's not in there? But he was on a behind the band.
He was a roller skate teen heartthrob. I in the music.
That's right.
So what did you say what Feldman was? Did I just miss it?
$3 million.
$2 million.
Oh, $2 million.
You guessed $3 million.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
I know he can make more money. He could sell that song to Channel 4 for promos.
Go for it. Go for it. Yeah, that's their slogan. Go for it.
Devin's on at 11. Go for it.
Go for it. Carmen's off of half a year. Go for it.
Go for it.
Carmen works like 20 weeks.
You need help from someone. Just ask help me, Hank, and go for it.
Did you know Carmen works like 26 weeks a year?
She does?
I think it's half the year she works, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good for her, man.
I know.
I wish I could have that gig.
She's the highest paid over there, too. Not bad.
Is she really?
I think, so. Yeah.
More than Devin? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think because she's been there so long. And she...
Devin works more.
Carmen has that unique ability to relate to the city.
Oh, in the suburbs.
The blacks in the city and also the suburbs.
She's good.
She's good. Solid.
She's all right.
She's enough. She's a good newsreader.
I guess maybe it's just what you expect out of somebody.
Carmen is not out there doing investigative
That's what pieces. I mean. It's like, what do you expect out of a person? She's like a comfortable blanket at 11 o'clock.
Well, that's what people want. They want that old shoe to climb into and to hear their news.
The best is still Huel. I love Huel.
Huel's great.
He's
Huel
the best.
Is great, yeah. No doubt.
And along those lines, we lost another one. A longtime anchor.
John Kelly, who anchored, I think he anchored at Channel 2 for a while. Before Channel 7.
When Hodak was at 2, according to the article, Hodak, there's someone else with him too.
Hodak was on Channel 7 talking about him. It's funny because Hodak implied that they had a 40-year friendship. And I was trying to imagine those two hanging out. What would Jerry Hodak and John Kelly do?
Well, they'd be sitting on chairs not facing each other. They'd be facing out at a make-believe audience.
I can't picture Jerry Hodak being anyone's friend.
Oh, clearly those two would just talk about pussy.
What a concept. Jerry Hodak talking about pussy.
The other night I heard... Of course, it'd be filled.
Yeah, so I'm in her ass. So, John, I'm in her ass.
And I told her you're gonna feel a warm front coming through, pussy.
Oh God!
Prepare for some thunderstorms. Hodak uses crazy weather euphemisms.
You're gonna feel some intermittent wetness.
They get really weird. You'd say things that don't make sense, like, here's some high pressure right here. Just grabbing her tit. And some low pressure down here.
Jerry Hodak just, I don't know, something really bizarre about that dude.
There is one weatherman. It's just popped in my head. There's one weatherman in this town who talks about pussy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to think. I'm busting my... It's not Chuck Gatica.
I'm not going to say it because I don't want to ruin this person's
please
image.
Please write it down. Who are you talking about? What weatherman have you talked pussy with?
I haven't talked pussy with him, but I've heard about
it. Oh, really?
Yes.
Get out of here.
He'll just be walking
to me. I cannot picture that.
Well, if you... If anybody wants to just read, like, weatherman bios, I think it'd be pretty easy to figure out. I don't think he's, like, a philanderer.
The only reason I can see him talking about it is he's afraid of it.
Oh, no, he's kind of
I don't know what to make of it.
He's kind of a badass, actually.
He is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What, he, like, nails lots of chicks?
No, but just in his bio, his life experiences.
Oh, okay.
Right. He's a cool dude.
I'll just spell his name for everybody.
Well, it's not a bad thing.
John Kelly, by the way, was 88.
Really?
Yeah, and I think of him as not being off TV that long, but he's been off for 20 years, I guess, right?
Huh. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe because guys stayed on for so long.
Yeah, they were on a long time.
So I feel like he would have been on. Would he have been on longer if he just did the news than Kelly and Company?
Yeah, I bet he would have. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I mean, maybe he was done. You know, some people actually are ready to go.
Did he come back to it after he did Kelly and Company?
No, that was it. He and Marilyn moved to Arizona and got ripped off by her son.
But they were back here.
He died in Southfield.
This is how I insert myself into the story. I saw that he passed away in Southfield, and I'm like, it was him that I saw walking in Royal Oak. Remember
that's right. Yeah,
remember that story.
Yeah.
I saw a guy, an older man with a like grandchild, walking across the street. I'm like, God, that guy looks really familiar. And he's driving, walking by, and it finally hit me. It's Kelly from Kelly and Company. And I actually thought about rolling down the window, going, "Hey, Kelly!" But not knowing what to say after that.
You. That's all you care about.
I know. I'm inserting myself in the story.
There was a picture of his grandson, by the way.
Ooh, how old? Like 9-ish?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Dude, it was totally him then.
I want to say he had Auburn-like hair. Auburnish?
I don't remember that well. I was focused on him because it's like, God, that guy looks really familiar, but I couldn't place him.
Those morning shows, those Kelly and Company shows, they're just so sappy. I just despise them. They were like the AM version of PM Magazine.
But they work, whatever.
Sappy, yeah, it worked.
Look at the Nine, and the Nine has people on there that we know and genuinely like, but they're playing to a different audience. I'm not playing to you or
I think they do a decent job, though. Dina and the Dina and the ladies.
Obviously walking a line.
Yeah, but they surprise me sometimes with some of the stuff that comes up.
Sure.
I don't think they avoid much.
No, but it's Fox has got a little different feel to it.
Yeah, Fox has a bit of an edge. I mean, they won't go on and on about the latest sex tape or anything. But
no.
I think the females do a good job of sort of
giving you
that approximation of females conversing, and you're sort of listening in on them, just like guys.
Well, I love Dina. Dina's just, she's like one of the guys almost talking to her.
Oh, yeah. No, Dina's great.
Amy, too. I don't know who else do they have on there.
I don't know any of those other girls.
Marielle. I met Marielle a few times. She's great. Yeah, I like her. I've never met her.
Actually, I met Amy. Amy did a story on us once.
Amy's very cool. Big Fish fan.
Is she a Big Fish fan?
I believe it's her. Yeah.
No, I like, you know, the
doesn't that say something about, like, when you find out what music is, like, somebody's really into, like, you just start reading into
it. It adds a lot to the picture, yeah. Definitely. No, the two gorgeous girls over there are, I mean, they're just complete knockouts, and they do a good job. It's funny, because I was talking about that with Charlie. He's like, oh, come on, dude. I'm like, Charlie, excuse me, if they're gorgeous, I can't, I mean, what, is that going to offend them? Are they going to go, how dare somebody say we're gorgeous? My God.
Well, he's the one getting his undies all the time.
Yeah.
If he was ugly and fat, would he be doing that? See me getting my undies. I think
he said they listen, which is like, oh, really? I don't know why I never considered the fact that they would be listening to us.
Who?
Amy or Erica.
Oh, really? Erica, yeah. Really? Erica does?
Well, I think Charlie suggested they might be listening. I'm not sure he said they are listening.
Oh.
Or they do listen.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I know Taryn does. I love Taryn. Taryn's great too.
Yeah, no, Fox too. They really
do have a good strong.
They have a good lineup right now. They do. They've had it for a while. They've kept those people. It was unfortunate that they lost a few recently. Although
Jason and Lee Lee came back. Jason's at four. Murray retired. Murray's very underrated. Feldman.
I was never a big Corey's uncle. Yeah, wouldn't that be hilarious if they were related?
Speaking of Kelly and Company, though, because that's a husband and wife group. Right?
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine doing that kind of show.
Well, that's why Chet and Nat in Boston were so fascinated by Chet and Nat because they did the news every night for all those years. And then they got divorced and they still did the news together. And
well, that in itself is crazy, but, you know, living with someone and working with them.
And the funny thing was, they seemed really lovey-dovey when they started, and they seemed like they hated each other. 20 years later, and sure enough, they got a divorce and still work together. And
oh man, that sounds like it does. Well, it kind of is Anchorman in a way.
Yeah, Chet just died.
Did he really?
Not just died. He died a few years ago, and I think she's retired. I want to mention something.
Go for it.
That has nothing to do with anything, except that I got a phone call today on our studio line.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I better pick it up because it could be somebody. Maybe Jay's been calling, and maybe they're calling back for an interview or because he's been trying to nail a couple down in particular. And so I answer the phone, and I realize as picking it up, I made the mistake. I was like just about to push the button, and I realized it said Comcast on it. And so I'm like, oh, shit, did I pay the Comcast bill? I better answer it anyway. So I push the button, and I go, hello. So the guy says, you know, is this so-and-so? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he starts off on his pitch. And I said, are you calling because I owe money? And he said, well, let me check. And then I realized, no, you're not. You're not. So yeah. I don't really have time to talk to you. And he goes, okay, I was going to pitch a way to save you money. And I said, okay, listen, I love that. But can you call me back on Wednesday? Because I knew I had stuff to do tomorrow, and I was backed up today.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we got Ryan coming in. I think they're bringing a camera guy in to shoot something. So I was like, you know, we got a big day tomorrow. No, Wednesday. I said, call me Wednesday. I'll take the call, and I'll listen to it. He says, no, we're not allowed to call back.
What?
I said, so in other words, you have this offer, but if I don't take it right now, the second you call me and interrupt my day, then it's over. Forget it.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's insane.
And he says, well, yeah, I really can't call you back, and I don't have a number for you to call me back. And I said, so yeah, what I said is true. You either call me and I take it right now, even I'm in the middle of like going through my will. I have to stop and take your call.
Except did he say? Pitch. Did he say what I ever say? Well, if you're so busy, why'd you answer the phone? It's hard to defeat that logic.
Well, but except that I thought it was a bill thing.
I know.
And nothing
more so.
Nothing frightens me more than having my cable TV cut off.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more frightening on this planet.
So you pose that question to him, and he
and he just basically, in a roundabout way, said, yes, you're right. And I said, that's just not reasonable, because what if someone is, you're calling me whenever you fucking feel it, whenever you feel like it.
Yeah.
It's mulligan day. We haven't sworn that much.
I'm really kind of busy.
Give it a day. Sometimes it works.
But I just think the concept is preposterous. And I think most telemarketers, that is the way they operate. You either take the call now, You listen to the whole pitch right now, or screw you.
I don't find it believable. I don't find it believable at all.
No, I don't either. I just don't think they keep records of when to call people back or when people want to be called back. I think they just churn through all those numbers and they just grab hook whoever they can. But wouldn't it make sense when someone says, you know what, I will talk to you on Wednesday?
I think AT&T slash DirecTV does that because they give you a name and a number if you need to call them back. Because I told you about I told you about the meltdown I had talking to AT&T for an hour and a half.
That was about, you're trying to change your cable service?
I was trying to combine bills because DirecTV was absorbed by
AT&T. What was the problem?
One is under Julie's name, even though it's the same address. One's under my name, even though it's the same address. And she had to be there, so then they put her. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. So then after maybe an hour, he starts pitching me on changing the programming and stuff. And I started listening, and then finally I just had this meltdown. I'm like, I just can't deal with this now. I've been on the phone with you guys for an hour and 15 minutes. I just can't even absorb any more information. I felt bad, but I got really pissed. Because then I was being pitched, and they weren't helping me with what I needed. So, I don't know. But he gave me a name and a number, which I never called back.
I had a classic one with Sprint when I picked up the phone one morning about 2 years ago. And I dialed the phone number. Was I sending a text? No, I was dialing a phone number. And Sprint answers the phone.
Oh.
And so I hung up.
I remember this,
I hung up. I'm like, what did I do? That's crazy. Dial it again. Sprint answers again. I'm like, wow, Sprint's the only people I can call. What's going on? So the guy says, you're in arrears on your phone bill. So they basically set it up so anyone you dial, their billing department answers.
It's kind of smart.
It's pretty clever. Yeah, I know. So anyway, they tell me what my bill is. It was like $300. And it was when Tess and I were combined on a plan. I think Evan was on our plan with us, too. And so I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to pay the bill. I'll just pay it myself on my credit card. And they said, well, you're not the person on the account.
Oh, shit.
No, I said, boy. I don't know. No, I'm trying to pay the bill.
Yeah.
I said, do you think I would pay a bill? I would give you $300 of mine to cover this bill if I wasn't on this phone. And I said, you know I'm on the phone. You know I'm on the plan. I said, because you've got, you know who I am. You got my phone and all that. I mean, I'm caught.
You just answered my call.
Right, exactly. They said, no, we can't take that until you give us the password. And I said,
vagina?
I don't know the password.
That's where it is.
Vagina. So anyway, they said, well, without the password, we can't do it. We can't take your money.
That's asinine. Like,
I know. I said,
when does a company ever not take someone's money?
So I said, okay, can you just do this for me? Can you call Tess? Tess answers her phone. I said, she answers her phone. Just call her and ask her to call me. Can you do that for me? No, I can't do that. I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, is it really? You called, I mean, you took my call, whatever. You call people all the time. You can't call her. She's one of your customers. She's on a plan. You know what it's about. It's about paying this bill.
You won't accept
my money.
Won't
take my money. Yeah. And so they said, no. So I got a supervisor on, no. So I said, wow. Well, I said, screw you very much. You know, I'll see what I have to do. I don't know what to do, but I'll try and figure something out. I have basically no help from you, no phone. You know I can't call anyone or text anyone.
And you're going to lose a customer over this. Did you tell him that?
I don't think I got all badass on him. But
why would you want to stay with a company if they do that?
No, and I didn't. And we're not with Sprint anymore.
Now I'm going to pay you, but I shouldn't.
So this is what's really funny. I go to 7-Eleven, and I know all the clerks there, and I go, can I use your phone? Oh, sure, man. So I call Tess from 7-Eleven, and then I call Sprint back with a password, and I said, I just want to tell you something. When I'm in trouble, and I need my password, because you won't take my check without the password, and you won't call the other person on the plan to help me out here, or just have her call me, 7-Eleven is more help than you.
Did they have a response to that?
No, absolutely not. Dead silence. And I said, did you catch that? 7-Eleven was more helpful to me with my problem than you were, and it's about your account. Okay, do you have the password?
Well, that's like when we had the floods here, August 11th.
Yeah.
We had the big floods, and the guy wanted me to turn on I was trying to disconnect the box that was in the basement because the satellite box got ruined because it was underwater. And he wanted me to plug it in and turn it on to see if it worked. And I just went, it was underwater. It doesn't work. He goes, well, no, you just got to plug it in and try it for me so I can go on the next step. And I just went, okay, I plugged it in. Yep, doesn't work. And he goes, sir, that couldn't have been enough time for it to boot up. I was like, no, I totally just did it. You didn't.
Why would they want you to plug in something that had been that
underwater?
Wet?
I don't know. Because it's on a checklist for them. But I was a little mad that he called my bluff. Yeah, plugged it in. Nope, doesn't work.
Well,
sir, that couldn't be possibly enough time.
You have waited 20 seconds.
I was livid, though, obviously, with the stress of the.
Theater of the mind is still very important. As Mags has learned, the dogs.
Yeah.
Are amazing. I mean, I can't believe how smart they are sometimes. Of course, I assure everyone says it about their dogs, but my dogs are very smart. They have to go out. When they go out,
yeah,
they, of course, get a treat. They've been treat trained.
Oh, yeah.
And so Mags, Layla never wants to go out. So Mags goes out. He comes back in, as you might know from Mags' size. He probably has to.
He's a big one.
Probably has to defecate more often than Layla. It sure seems that way. Anyway, he comes back in, and he comes running to me for his treat. So I give him a treat. Layla's like jumping up like, oh, treat time, awesome. And I go, no, you got to go outside. You got to go potty. She runs to the door. I open the door. She runs outside. Mm-hmm. She goes outside for a while. She comes back for a treat. I mean, it's pretty smart. Anyway, Mags, on the other hand, when the reverse happens, which isn't very often, but it does happen, he goes outside. He goes down the stairs. He stands in place, which to take a whiz, he just stands there like, I mean, it's very funny the way he does it. He's very manly. And he stands there for like 2 seconds and then comes running in. And I'm like, no, I'm not fooled by that, Mags. This theater, he tries to fake me out, though.
That's great.
He
it's
really
smart.
Does. I know. Can
he's
you
learning.
Dog
he's
does
training
that?
You.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So anyway, I deny him his treat, and eventually he'll go back out.
Now, see, Charlotte does the opposite. She just sits on the toilet, and I go, you don't have to poop. And she, I still poop in. I'm like, you just want people to read you stories on the can. She goes, no, I still poop. And I'm like, you've been on here for 5 minutes. If you haven't done it now, you haven't done it.
So it's just a big fake out?
I still poop in. Yeah.
How's she doing with her training?
She's fully potty trained. That's been a while. But she does like to sit in the potty and have people read to her. Just like her dad.
She's going to love bathroom attendants.
Yeah, maybe that's what she'll be when she grows up. You never know.
Wayne T. Jackson is the guy who had Trump.
Yeah.
For the interview, which I never saw the interview.
Well, he delayed it and delayed it.
But he was delayed like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was really stupid. But anyway, he is still taking crap over having hosted Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that couldn't get into his church, I mean, he's got his parishioners, and a presidential candidate was coming, and they're one of them from one of the two major parties. It doesn't surprise me that just anybody couldn't walk into his church. Is that really surprising?
What? Not no.
Because Sheffield was acting like, "How dare you deny people the right to go in your church and hear this man's message?" Well actually, to hoot him down is what they wanted to do. But I mean,
it's a presidential candidate. I mean,
Detroit police were on horseback, and they were holding him back, and they were acting like, what is this police state?
Well, that's what he's a law and order candidate.
It's a presidential candidate.
Know,
come
true.
On.
And not different. Only that, he's one of the most polarizing ones. So, yeah, you're going to want to vet who's in there.
So, anyway, people are still angry about this. So, well,
what are they angry about? That this guy had him at, what's his name, Bishop Wayne T. Jackson,
because he, I think because. They feel like he did it for the publicity for himself.
Well, maybe he did, but so what?
They don't say that, though.
But he still did it. I mean, if it's really about having a conversation about things, then how can you be mad at the guy that's facilitating
it? I didn't think it was. I don't think Trump going to a black church is a bad thing. I mean, it should be a good thing, if nothing else.
That's what I'm saying. If it's all about having a conversation, whether you believe anybody's motives or not, how can you knock down the guy that's, you know, setting it forward?
But everyone just gives him shit. When he comes, I mean, it turns into this big negative thing, and I can't imagine. I mean,
seems
to me, talking
about Trump or Trump. Bishop. Oh, because I'm talking about Wayne T. Jackson.
Well, he took a lot of shit too.
That's what I mean. Why? It's stupid.
Now, the female pastor in Flint didn't take a lot of crap, but that story has taken a very weird turn too. But anyway, let's watch this story because New Era Detroit showed up at the church today.
The baseball hat manufacturers, New Era.
No, different.
Take a look at
different operation.
This chaos in church over the weekend when protesters yell out during service. It happened at the Great Faith Ministries. That's on Grand River Avenue, and that is where Jason Colthorpe is tonight. And Jason, why this
was
church?
His hair.
Trump.
Yeah, if you remember, Carmen.
He's standing in front of a tree and the lighting was off.
Wow, that's wild. It looks like he has this gigantic afro, doesn't it?
Like I feel like
the tree's the same color as his hair almost. That's really
this
strange.
This is where Donald Trump came and spoke to the congregation on September 3rd. Well, that didn't sit well with some. And the group New Era Detroit, which in its own words aims to restore black unity in black communities, showed up here Saturday. And soon after, there was a disturbance in the service, and dozens of people ended up spilling out into this parking lot.
Go for it.
Look at this.
A
it's
clash
a brawl.
During
it's a
Saturday service at Great Faith Ministries caught on tape.
Don't touch me, bro.
Mark DeAndre of 7 Mile Radio was there as an observer and shot the video.
I got word that New Era Detroit was going to be at the church where Donald Trump spoke.
Like
and
the way he spells his name.
You know, kind of seen a funnel cloud in the air.
And that funnel cloud touched down as security pushed protesters along with DeAndre out and went nose to nose in the parking lot. Bishop Wayne T. Jackson stands behind his security because he didn't know what was happening when someone charged his pulpit.
He had a cane with dark glasses on and said, power to the people. So my security took him out. Took him out and let him know that you're not going to come in God's house. It's a sacred place.
There was nothing violent going on the inside as the people.
Is there a problem when churches have security teams? I mean, he said it was his security team, not Trump's.
Why does he need a security team?
That's kind of my point, because maybe because he has a lot of money.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely stupid. And it really, in my mind, it goes along with this new drainage fee that everyone is paying, but the church is all saying, hey, I got 19 buildings, 19 times the drainage. This is going to put me out of business, man. I have to sell a building.
Yep. Wow. I'm sorry.
Why do you have all those buildings?
I just wanted to point that out. I think that's a little ridiculous.
People said the chant happened.
It is ridiculous.
And then all the New Era Detroit rushed to the front and went up to the aisle. It was not enough time for all of that to happen.
Bishop Jackson says the church has gotten hate mail and threats since Donald Trump visited. He also isn't very fond of New Era Detroit.
Just look at the track record. They're drug addicts. I mean, they're drug pushers, all that other stuff. These guys just trying to bully people.
He's
and
a
they're
bishop.
Trying to make it seem that they're doing it because they're concerned with the community.
All power to the people.
They don't like Donald Trump. That's their problem.
They're drug addicts.
Couldn't he
drug addicts?
Couldn't Bishop?
It was a bit of a harsh broad brush, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just gonna say every single one. Couldn't he not do the interview on the phone? I mean, the reporter's at his church. Is he not?
He might be too busy.
He's on vacation.
Seems to be a bit of a superstar. I mean, he's got his own security team.
He kind of classified this whole thing, characterized it as a misunderstanding. The bishop clearly thinks of it a different way. Now, we did reach out to New Era Detroit. I texted, left a message, and I was told I was going to get a call back, but we haven't been able to speak to anyone with that group today about what happened Saturday. On the west side today, Jason Colt of Local 4.
Wouldn't you think New Era Detroit would be a little pissed about being called drug addicts and drug pushers?
100%.
That's a path. That's a bishop.
Well,
they're all New Era Detroit. I mean, that's an organization. That's not a gang.
I'm surprised you didn't call them terrorists.
Seemed a bit strong to me. Anyway, so this Trump thing turns into a complete disaster, and Flint didn't go too well either because Trump was doing his message basically, which politicians will do in a church or anywhere they go. I mean, George Bush on 9/11. To a class of fifth graders, is talking about America being under attack. It's just sort of understood. And when Trump started to do that, she went up and said, oh, Mr. Trump, we were supposed to talk about Flint. And I thought, honestly, that was one of Trump's better moments because he just said, oh, okay.
Well, you're not going to win, right?
Do you really They were already yelling at him between comments. They were making some smart-ass remarks.
Didn't she shush them down?
Yeah, she did. She did. But anyway, after this whole thing went down a couple days ago, I read a piece, and I forgot. I'm trying to remember who she was talking to. It was somebody, some higher up in the black community. I mean, almost like a Jesse Jackson, but not Jesse Jackson. Anyway, she was saying that, when Donald Trump was coming to town, instead of listening to his message, I made up my mind that we're going to teach him something.
Oh, she said that?
Yeah,
really?
She kind of badassed it.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, I made my mind up.
Boy.
So anyway, Trump gets wind of that, and Trump said something like...
she was a nervous wreck, I think.
He said she was a nervous wreck. She said, I thought something was a little odd. Her hands were shaking wildly. And then I think he said something about, you know, she seemed like kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately, somebody from Hillary, it was either Hillary or somebody in her operation said, oh, well, isn't that Donald Trump? Pick on the little black lady, the little black pastor. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a little ridiculous. Well, at least Chelsea's coming to fix Flint now.
Oh, Chelsea's coming to Flint now.
Flint, Ann Arbor.
So Flint's getting used one more time by someone who's not going to do anything.
Although, didn't they just pass a bill and the feds passed a bill that's going
to
help?
They did. $100 million, which has nothing to do with anyone's appearance there.
Of course not. Of course not.
Chelsea's a horrible speaker, by the way.
I know. And her teeth are gross. You ever notice that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, why are they so yellow? Did she never brush them?
I don't know. Can't we just knock her out with GHB and put some bleaching trays in there? Like I wanted to do with our intern.
Regarding Trump and Clinton, too, the fact that the whole birther thing is back, you know, and Trump actually had to
God. What?
But can I say,
why did that even come up?
Well, because he's really led the charge since 2011 about it.
But it's been over for how long?
But he's never... there's two sizes. He's never said it, though. And for him to publicly say it's pretty amazing. But then he doubles down by pointing out that it was really her campaign that started it in 2008.
It was her supporters. It wasn't her campaign.
Exactly. But I feel like everybody's just dismissing that and kind of ragging on him for saying that. When it clearly was, it wasn't her supporters that started it, but it was her supporters that pushed it to no end in 2008.
Not to mention,
but they're immediately just, and you know me, I don't stand up for Trump in most things, but I think that's ridiculous the way they've attacked him for saying that, you know, being another conspiracy theory, because it's pretty much true that it is her supporters that pushed the birther theory.
Not to mention all the other things that she said about Obama back in 2007 and 2008. I mean, if you wanted to go back and dig that stuff up, I'm surprised Trump hasn't done that, actually.
Especially with Bill and the whole, you know, it's just a fantasy. It's all,
no, there's some really,
it's all fantasy land, I think.
If they're going to dig up the birther thing, and by the way, this really pissed me off, and this is just where it's gone, is Hillary's, when she gave this speech about the birther thing, she said... His racist attack on a black president. That's what she said. His racist attack on. Why is it racist to question where someone was born? He was not the first one to do it. She knows where that started. And by the way, he could have ended that thing a lot sooner if he'd produced his birth certificate. And when he did,
it
was over.
Well, not right away. Remember, it was the short form.
Mm.
It's like, what is this cover up? You know, and why should he have to? It's pretty much accepted anyway.
But Mark,
he was already president by then.
There were so many people who didn't think he was born in the U.S.
I understand.
It wasn't just a small thing.
I get that. I understand that. But are you going to respond to what he would perceive, every rumor or question about him?
That was a big one. That was one that, and you know what?
And a lot
of people still believe it.
Honestly, you don't find it racist the fact that because he has Kenyan roots and lived in Indonesia, you don't think the birther movement
think
was
that's
slightly
racist? No,
oh, I do.
I don't.
Oh, I do. If he was white and there was some
questions,
then
Hillary's a racist.
Oh, absolutely. If her supporters that pushed it were
they're racist,
her supporters.
Come on,
sure.
That's such a leap. Those people just were trying to, what are they doing? They're trying to, basically, these people throw darts at each other for 2 years. And some of them stick and some of them don't. It doesn't mean they're racist.
I don't know. I don't know. To me, it kind of struck me as slightly, well, at the very least, slightly racist because he's Kenyan. If he came from Germanic roots, would anybody question it as much? If his father was born in Germany?
Well, let's just say Arnold Schwarzenegger was claiming to be American. It's a bad example because he's not American, but let's just say he was American. Well, it's hard to make an analogy. I don't know. I just didn't consider it racist.
I don't think the birther movement would have been as big if it was somebody whose dad was from, say, Germany or France or a European country.
Well, his background is clearly unique for a presidential candidate, at a minimum.
And I think that's why it was easy to attack it.
Well, as it went on, you know, as no birth certificate came forward, because it would have been so easy to just end that thing. And I don't really understand why he didn't do it sooner, because it was big. There were a lot of people. Now, the number now, I think the number now is still huge. 20% still don't believe he's born in the U.S. 20%. 20 fucking percent.
I can't believe that.
And it's funny, when I sent that to you and you said, oh, that's your basket of deplorables.
No. The way you said it was 40% of Trump voters. And then you brought in the Democrats that believe it as well. And I just kept saying, that basket's getting full. Basket of deplorables.
Well, yeah, it's 12% Democrats, 19% of independents, and I don't know, they never did say which percentage of Republicans believed it, but
the text you sent me said 40%.
No, I said Trump had, once she was done with the basket of deplorables, I said Trump supporters at 40%, so she's saying 1/5 of the voting public is in the basket of deplorables. That's basically 20% of her constituents.
But she said half of his supporters, which 40% is not half, but whatever.
No, 20%. I was saying 1/5 of his supporters are in the basket.
Oh, really?
Of deplorables.
Oh, okay. I thought.
Well, 1/5 of the country, 20%, because his support's 40, and okay. Half it's 20. And I still don't know what a basket of deplorables. I've never heard of one or seen one.
It's not a saying. It's not a phrase. Never has.
I wonder if someone came up with that term. I mean, that's such a weird term. It seems like someone had to come up with it, doesn't it?
Nobody understands it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I forgot what we were even talking about. I spaced out. Oh, no.
No. No more. It's so stuck in my head already.
June 12, 2008 is when he put out this short form birth certificate, and it still raged on. After that,
well, because it was
in the long form, he put it out in 2011 after Trump really started hammering it. I mean, I don't know, when else do you want him to put it out? You want him to put it out the long form, I guess, in 08?
Well, sure, I think it ended though. When he put out the long form, it ended.
Trump has been seen in interviews as early before he started his presidential campaign in 2015, where he's like, I don't know, I hear things, I don't know. I mean, and I think part of it is. You know, his bombastic sense. I don't think he really believed it, but maybe I'm cutting him too much slack.
I don't know what, honestly, with some stuff like that, these conspiracy theories, I don't know what he believes and doesn't believe. I really don't.
But that's
I've
said it before. It's what drives me nuts about him more than anything, is that he latches onto conspiracy theories.
Well, oh, I'm sorry about that.
And then rejects them. And, you know, they say, well, I don't know. This is just what I've heard. Like, well, you can hear anything. He really is like the first internet candidate in a way. Just read something on the internet and it's true in his mind.
Yeah, I get a little annoyed when people say he thinks it's a reality show or
I
whatever.
Hate that
I think
too.
That's really stupid.
I think that's dumb.
But he is definitely. He's not a politician.
He doesn't
think before he talks. He just does his thing.
Reading up on him, it goes back as far as I think it was 88 or 89 when he just decided, and this, you know, he's run on this too, that this country isn't strong as it should be. And so I think he really wants to be president. I think his motives are genuine.
I think he's a little misguided though. I don't know what he thought.
Well, if you read up on some of that stuff, which I know you have, it says that. He just thinks the country's weak and needs to be stronger.
Look at the strong people.
I think, honestly, his motives are fairly sincere. I think they're probably more than sincere, more than most people would like to admit.
His methods are atrocious, though.
Well, he's a terrible candidate. He's a horrible candidate. And I think in most circumstances, he wouldn't have lasted nearly this long. But I think it's the time... It's a lot of what happened right before him. It's, I think, much more than people realize it has to do with political correctness and the fact that he ignores it and doesn't give a shit about it and will say what he thinks. And, you know, it's funny how Hillary acts like there's something so nefarious about Donald Trump.
Well, that's
just...
He is
what he is. We know what he is. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone more vetted than Donald Trump?
Mm-hmm.
I think, far and away, I know Donald Trump far more than I know Hillary Clinton. I think she is so much smoke and mirrors and so much bullshit. It doesn't mean that she wouldn't be good at certain things or she can't be a good public servant. I'm sure she has been and can be, but I trust her.
No one trusts her.
I'm trying to think of how much I mistrust her. I don't trust her at all. I'm not even sure about her motives. I think she's...
Well, you know her motives.
To be president. She wants to run the shit. Because she wants to run the whole thing.
It's clear why you just need to vote Johnson and Weld.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I meant to bring this up. the Michigan poll, which shows that they're almost in a dead heat in Michigan.
Who?
Hillary and Trump.
Hillary and Trump. You got me excited there because I said Johnson. I thought for a second you were going to say Gary Johnson was.
Gary Johnson was on 60 Minutes last night.
He was electric.
I thought he was good.
He's great. He's a little goofy.
Yeah, he's a little goofy, but I would like to see more of him. I think I would probably vote for him.
Well, you know me. I like him. I actually like Weld a little better, but Johnson's kind of been the face of libertarians for a few years.
The Aleppo thing didn't bother me at all. Actually, I kind of thought his honesty was refreshing.
And what is Aleppo?
He said, I don't know what it is.
Just the way he's kind of soft in his response. He's like, and what is Aleppo?
And the host was such a prick about it.
Isn't that
like,
Barnacle,
really?
By the way? Isn't that
Mike Barnacle?
Got fired from the Boston paper for plagiarism.
For plagiarism. Yeah.
And then Gary Johnson goes, no. When he's like, no.
Yeah, that was.
And then as soon as he starts explaining, he says, oh, okay, I got it. His answer after that is even worse.
I thought it was a very, very much a gotcha question. What about Aleppo? Well, obviously, if you don't know what Aleppo is, you know, if he had said, what do you think about the refugees in Aleppo, in Syria, or something like that, he would have probably done a lot better.
A lot of the responses right away was, it's the capital of ISIS, and it's not. It's not at all. So it's funny, the people that wanted to point the fingers were wrong. But he should know what the fuck... He should know what the hell Aleppo is.
Absolutely.
If you're running for president. No. And he admitted that on 60 Minutes.
He should have known. No, there's no question he should have known. And I thought, I liked the way he handled it because, you know, his vice presidential candidate. Who was that guy, by the way?
Bill Weld. That's what I'm saying. I kind of like
that's Bill Weld
from Massachusetts.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Pretty sharp.
Bill Weld, absolutely. And he's got a pretty distinguished background, too. I mean, he's done a lot. I thought Bill, how old is Bill Weld?
He's pretty up there, yeah.
He's in his 70s, right?
You know, Johnson's like a mountain climber. Mr. Athlete. He presents himself as Mr.
How
Athlete.
Old a guy is he?
I think he's pretty old, too. He, pro-marijuana.
Weld is 71.
He's so pro-marijuana, Gary Johnson said that he won't be smoking it as president. Hasn't smoked in the past couple months.
Is Weld a pot smoker?
I don't think so.
Johnson is 63.
It's really.
I just liked his demeanor.
Well, how do you not like their ideas? Socially liberal, fiscally conservative.
No, I'm not. I'm not against the Libertarian
government.
Party. I just don't think they have a chance to win.
They don't, and I don't understand why.
But I've voted for third party candidates before, just to encourage third party candidacy because I think it's something we need. We need something, my God, especially after this election. But the Michigan poll. I thought Gary Johnson usually helped Trump, but in this case, he doesn't help him very much.
I don't think he did help Hillary. I think it's the people.
The national polls, he helps Trump.
Really?
It's a closer race with Johnson in the race.
That must be the young voters, right? The Bernie people?
Yeah, the millennials.
Okay.
The millennials like Gary Johnson. And
see, I would think he would help the Republican Party that are looking for their old Republican Party, the small government Republican Party.
Yeah.
As opposed to the religious right Republican Party?
Millennials are very liberal, at least in this election.
They're not voting.
Yeah, that I don't know. You know, that's the real oddball thing about this election is how many people won't vote because they're just disgusted with both candidates. I think that number could be really big. And, you know, they need to get the the kind of people that need rides to the polls. They really need those people to vote. I mean, let's face it, she has a 100% lead with African-Americans.
Oh, yeah.
And with Latinos, it's something similar. This will be the second election in a row, by the way, if things hold, where the minorities will basically elect the president.
Uh-huh.
Because the Caucasians will favor Trump. It's not a huge margin, but it's significant. In the last election, it was 59-39. I didn't realize it was that high.
What, white people voting for
white people
person?
Voting for Mitt Romney. 59-39. How do you make up 20%? Well, by getting 96% of the minority vote.
But those are also people that are voting. I wonder, do you think white people are more likely to vote than, say, a minority?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't know what the history is, to be honest. At one time, I'm sure it was significant. I don't think so much anymore.
Especially older white people who tend to vote no matter what.
Oh, well, older Caucasian people have a lot of power in this country because they do vote.
Hey, here's the – I don't want you to lose this article because you teased it at the end of part one.
Go for it. Oh, yeah. Of course. I was actually scrounging around looking for it for a second. I was trying to find the rest of the Michigan story. Basically, the Michigan story is that Hillary was up about 13 points.
Wow.
45 days ago, and it's all erased. I mean, that's really significant.
Hilarious.
And a lot of the other polls, there are some polls now showing Trump is ahead of Hillary Clinton. Not by much, but I mean, there are some polls.
Here in Michigan?
No, nationally.
National polls don't matter, though. It's the state.
No, they don't, but it tells you something. It tells you she's had a terrible month, put it that way.
I was watching those guys I tell you about all the time, Heilman and Halperin, you know, the guys from the circus and write the books. And I believe it was they were saying that Trump could win I think they said he was more likely to win the popular vote but lose the Electoral College. Which would be the opposite of 2000, which I found kind of
interesting. Oh, that will be. I got to tell you, there will be some screaming if that happens. Well, as there was.
We just saw it 16 years ago, though.
I know. And I have to tell you, I don't understand why. What the Electoral College? Why? Because Thomas Jefferson and these incredible people that came with our Constitution wanted to do it that way?
States' rights! I mean, that's the argument you'll hear, states' rights. In reality, the reason it was done that way was because in the early years, it wasn't so easy to tabulate the whole country. So you had to have electorates go and cast the votes for your area.
Well, they didn't want someone to just dominate a huge state and have that carry them to an election.
Well, no, but shouldn't it be that way? Shouldn't it be
popular
vote?
Of course, in my opinion. But I've never understood why we're doing this
but
now.
But the real reason it started that way was because technology more than anything. But we get instant results like crazy now. It's not really about states' rights. And, of course, the fear is, well, then you'll just have people campaigning in New York City and Chicago and Los Angeles and San Francisco, which I don't believe that, first of all. But anyway, even if that was true, most of the time all they do is campaign in Florida and Ohio.
No, it's insane. I mean, they've turned it into a it's kind of like I don't know, people always find shortcuts to, or you know, they try to beat the system, and that's what these people are trying to do. They're trying to win the states where you've got the largest electoral college difference, what is essentially a swing state. There's certain states that are going to go red and go blue, and they'll ignore those states.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Unless they find that they're in trouble there, and they just go to the places where they've got a close race. Hillary is spending a ton of her time in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah, she cannot afford to lose Pennsylvania.
That is a huge part of her strategy, is to win Pennsylvania, because Trump can't win without Pennsylvania.
Well, Pennsylvania has more electoral votes than Ohio.
I don't know why Trump isn't focusing more on Pennsylvania, to be honest, though, because he knows. Could you check and see if there's a recent Pennsylvania poll?
Sure.
I just wonder what that state is like, because he's close in Florida and Ohio.
Oh, I think he's ahead in Florida and Ohio, so that's why he needs to steal, say, Michigan or Pennsylvania or Virginia even.
Yeah, Virginia might be an all-day job.
Sounds like he's re-locked up Georgia and North Carolina, though, which is kind of surprising.
But there are a couple Republican states that are in play that weren't supposed to be.
Well, Georgia was one. Georgia was one for a while. And then North Carolina, but it sounds like he's kind of locked those up for now.
PA? Clinton leads 46 to 40. That's a lot. That's significant.
Surprised he wasn't focusing on that more.
I'm sure he will. Well, the debates are next Monday. The debates are a week away.
My God, those
the
are
first
huge.
Debate. Oh, I know. I'm so excited. Don't you think Hillary is just shitting bricks?
That's interesting. You think so, or is she getting me ready?
Oh, I think she's. This will be the. This has got to be the first debate she's ever been in.
I thought it was pretty smart by. Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, because I don't think she was ever really challenged when she ran for Senate, right?
What about when it was two for the price of one? Why didn't she debate?
I liked when Trump's like, hey, I'm not going to attack unless she does first, which is really smart of him, because you know somebody will attack. You know she'll attack.
Of course she will.
Hey, she started it. The whole she started it route.
I still can't get over the fact how funny it is that when Bill Clinton won the presidency, that they campaigned on this two for the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I saw the clip on 60 Minutes where she says that. In fact, every time it's said, I'm pretty sure she's saying it and he nods. But why isn't it two for the price of one now? Why doesn't she say that when Bill has been president?
He doesn't
He's
want
very
it.
Popular.
He doesn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, but to win?
She's in charge.
I just don't think she wants it to be two for the price of one. This is her presidency, damn it.
Yeah.
This is not two for the price of one. This is me.
After all, he thought she had the flu, not pneumonia.
Oh my God, I know.
He doesn't know. He doesn't see her.
I still can't get over that the way that story read.
I know.
That they know contacted his manager or his chief of staff to find out if he'd pinch hit for her when supposedly she lives with the guy. She can't just say, Bill, you're going to California next week.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. This thing can't be over soon enough.
Mm. I think it's about to get really interesting. The debates will be fascinating.
Yeah, what do they have, three debates to do? Yep. Is that what they agreed to?
Yep. And the most interesting thing is, how is she going to perform? I suspect what she'll do is she'll just basically have 20 answers, and she'll plug them into whatever questions yep. they fit best in.
Keep hammering them home.
I don't think she's a good on-her-feet speaker.
She's period. Not. That's why she doesn't have press conferences.
Supposedly he's
once
been...
Once again, this is the kind of interesting thing about this election is that it's the feel candidate in Trump and the kind of the facts. So she's just going to throw fact, and he just throws, nope, everything sucks, vote for me. And which way are people going to vote? And you can vote either way. I mean, there's no right way or wrong way.
I just read somewhere that he has been studying boning up for this debate for quite a while now.
With what's his name?
I don't know who's playing Hillary.
The penguin from the Fox Network, Roger Ailes.
Oh, is Roger? Well, if he's involved, it's very quietly, I'm sure.
Well, most people believe he is. Like he's been.
Oh, I think they acknowledge having some counsel from him.
Mm-hmm. He's after all, he's the one that came up with that Reagan line about. I'm not going to use my opponent's age.
Oh,
I'm not going to let age be an issue in this election and point out my opponent's what's the word?
Youth.
Yeah. He said it more eloquently than I did. That's why he was president.
Moving on off this abortion. Oh, Mark's mom is on Faceline? Or she's on Facebook?
Faceline. Yeah, she was just a minute. What was she doing?
She's always on there.
Is she on the Drew and Mike podcast account, or is she on the Drew Lane one?
She's on the Drew and Mike podcast.
She is?
Yeah.
She was just online a minute ago.
What was she doing?
I don't know.
Oh, she became friends with Jerry Margraf.
Who?
She became friends with Jerry Margraf.
Who's that?
I don't know. He's a mutual friend of yours, though.
I brought her 8-tracks in, by the way.
Oh! Well, we have to see what Rosie had. I told you I'd go
through that. First thing she said when I said, oh, I want to take your 8-tracks to the podcast to make fun of them. She goes, I don't have any Anne Murray or Air Supply in there, because that's what I used to laugh about.
Oh, I love that she's defending her musical loves.
Oh, I know. But she's like, I didn't even realize I listened to Jesus Christ Superstar that much. I said, no, you did. That's pretty much why that whole thing is memorized by me.
Our Facebook likes are over 6,000.
Ooh!
We're approaching 6,100. Twitter's at 4,422. Nice. Twitter gets easier. Once you hit about 5,000, Twitter gets easier. Because you get more retweets and you get so much more activity and more people get exposed to you,
yeah.
Fortunately.
Yeah.
But before we get to Rosie's 8-tracks, Detroit Mercy has changed their logo. And normally this story would mean nothing to me, except that they are adopting the English D partially for this logo.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a red outline, and the kind of squiggly, fancy-schmancy English D part is in blue. I don't know why you would have two colors for one.
Well, UDM. So they're trying to combine the D.
Oh, that's
and the
an
M
in the middle.
Yeah. That's all you. That's, see, to me, that's all I see is the M.
I see. I think they've kind of mucked up the English D.
Yeah. See, I don't see a D at all. I see an M that's kind of surrounded by a half circle.
And, you know, it's funny. They mentioned in the story that so many people didn't understand what Detroit Mercy meant. They thought they were affiliated with a hospital in some cases.
Well, Mercy Hospitals. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mercy was another college they merged with. Why didn't they just, and that merger, it seems to me, whoever was the powerhouse in it, which was probably U of D, why didn't they just become U of D and just absorb it and maybe use it for a couple of years and then drop it?
I thought it was always known as University of Detroit for the longest time. And they
it
added,
was.
They added Mercy not that long ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure when that was added. Let's see. I think they mentioned. Oh, they merged in 1990.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Mercy. Anyway,
regardless, the logo is garbage.
The D is weird. But here's the other part that I thought was, it's funny how they tell you what it means, like you're supposed to believe that and just go with it.
That right there shows a bad logo or a bad slogan if you have to explain it. It's like a joke. If you have to explain it, then it's not good.
And, of course, they had, this is what's really funny. Somewhere in here it said, mentioned how long they were working on this. I want to say it was like 4 years in the making.
Oh, really?
It was created by Pittsburgh-based brand firm BD&E. Alumni, students, faculty, and fans to wear Detroit Mercy wherever they go. We want loud and proud. We want the sweatshirt factor to represent us and create a strong connection. We'll see about that. But they have a tagline, too. It's, you know, it's got the big English D with the M in the middle, and then University of Detroit Mercy with Detroit Mercy in red. And then they have a slogan underneath it. It used to be, we want great things for you, which I don't think is a bad tagline.
We want great things for you. I think that's a solid one.
It's not perfect, but it's not bad for a college.
It's not as good as Go For It, which wouldn't make any sense.
What they've replaced it with is, build a boundless future.
What?
Build a boundless future. Doesn't that sound like a big bullshit line?
Is it a little redundant, maybe? I mean, isn't a future technically kind of boundless anyway? I mean, if it's in a positive sense.
If you went to Detroit Mercy, it's boundless. It's boundless as hell.
I guess it's not really redundant. It's just, I don't like it.
I think it's confusing.
Who's ever said, hey,
build a boundless future.
My future is going to be boundless.
No, it sounds snotty.
But you could see someone going, hey, I want great things for you. But I would never say, hey, Drew, build a boundless future, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to be, I think with a tagline, you want it to be something real simple. I mean, don't make it complicated. You don't want, I mean, certainly having trouble understanding it would be the worst thing of all. The new logo is more of a college feel and less of a corporate feel. The logo been around since 1990. Detroit also is replacing its tagline of "We want great things for you" with "Build a boundless future." It's much more aspirational.
No, it's dumb.
Aspirational.
Yeah, I mean, we put the ass in aspirational. That's their new slogan.
I mean, they're just talking over people's heads.
Yeah,
build a boundless future is more aspirational. No, we want good things for you. Well, I don't know why they even replaced that.
It should just be, come get some D. Come get some D. In the spell of come, C-U-M. Come get some D at the University of Detroit Mercy.
Work on the project began 4 years ago.
Grow with the D.
Includes surveys of various groups connected to the university. 4 years. I mean, to think that it took 4 years to come up
with that.
Build a boundless future and this D with an M in the middle.
I'm just thinking to myself, I actually just had to explain that logo to you because the only thing that stands out is the M.
Mark, I've looked at this like 20 times. I've had this article here for 3 days and I never knew that was an M in the middle.
It's an old English M inside of like a half circle or a 75% filled circle.
Let's see what the comments say. There's only four comments. Already purchased a new shirt, sweatshirt, and cap to wear to the games. I think the logo is nicer than the previous one, but understand why it might not be the biggest hit with some alumni. Go Titans! Breaking news, out-of-town agency phones in play on old English T logo for UDM.
Amen.
I won't be adding anything with this to my alumni gear.
I agree with that guy.
Oh my God, this looks terrible. Copycat from Detroit Tigers, but it looks messy. That's exactly what I said.
Yep.
That $1 million price just became one of UDM's worst investments. They paid $1 million for this.
Wow. I wonder if somebody knew somebody with this company.
And then Dale adds, Pittsburgh, there's no agency in Detroit or even Michigan that could have done this?
I'm really surprised. I mean, I know it's a private university and all, but I'm really surprised that if you're going to represent an area, you wouldn't try to find somebody nearby, right?
Build a boundless future.
Thanks, Louis.
You know what I realized about my Louis voice?
Yeah.
It's very close to Bob Hope. Hey, build a boundless future, Mark.
Yeah, but sometimes...
Okay, the cue card. Come on, Dolores.
But remember, sometimes Bob Hope goes really low, and then he goes back up high.
No, that was always... When TC did Bob Hope, that was always the funniest part was when he went down.
Oh, he did it so well.
Build a boundless future. That's the... Yeah, you have a new song. It's going to be great for those guys.
Well, I guess.
Honey, turn the cue card. Turn the card. Oh, she hot. Really fine piece of ass over here. Yeah, turn the card. Turn the card.
They should have taken a page out of Hope when he did. Remember when he did the ads for Kmart and he went, ha-ha, this is big. UDM should have used, ha-ha, this is big with the ha-ha in it.
But I never, did you ever think that Louis sounded like Bob Hope?
No, not one bit.
Because doing the voice is very similar. Or trying to do, although I never really had either one of them down.
I'm just trying to read other comments on the.
Thanks, ma'am!
New old friend in the same old place. Is this. With a brand new name and a
brand new face. Big Kmart, Martha Stewart every day. Sesame Street for kids.
Jacqueline
Smith and Kathy Ireland Fashions.
Yeah.
Penske Auto Center. Come discover the difference.
Will there be anything else, sir?
Big Kmart. This is big.
This is big. Kmart. This is big.
Listen how phoned in that is by Hope.
And I wonder how many takes it is.
One, take.
One take, that's it. One take, that's all you get. You're going to pay me another million? I'll do two.
That's funny. I'm more focused in on that guy's read and how sexual it was.
Yeah, he's really into it.
Penske Auto Parts.
Can you zone a little deeper? Could you pound off while you're doing it?
Get the Ireland Penske Auto Parts. Come see what we're building.
Yeah, how'd that Kmart campaign work out?
Hey, can... Oh, yeah, well...
Kmart, they're almost done, aren't they?
The only Kmart I know of, I drove by not that long ago, and it's shuttered. It wasn't... I, like, drove by one day, it was fine, and maybe a week later it was shuttered.
Well, there's a virtual...
in Madison Heights.
There's a virtual rat race going on for the Kmart properties throughout Michigan.
Yeah.
Because they have some of the best locations...
I believe
in
it.
...in the best malls in the state of Michigan, and so... Many, many people are looking at moving into their old real estate.
See, I always thought that location, the corporate location by Somerset, is a great location.
Yeah.
It's just been a dump.
Well, that's one of the places, and I think somebody may have already purchased that.
Sears?
No, I don't think it's Sears.
Didn't Sears purchase Kmart though?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so I guess it's technically Sears' crap anyway.
Wait, so I'm confused about this. Kmart stores still exist, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're
are
not,
all their
not many
Kmart's
of them.
Called Sears now? Or are they turning them into Sears?
I think the Sears company just bought them. I mean, you don't want to lose great branding of Kmart.
What I, to this day, of January 30, 2016, the company operated a total of 1,524 Kmart stores in 49 states. Guam, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, including 10,076 discount stores averaging 95,000 square feet and 439 super centers averaging 170,000 square feet.
This just posted.
Who cares?
This just posted an hour ago. Kmart is going to close 64 stores across the U.S. Liquidation sales begin September 22nd. Stores will close their doors mid-December. Its parent company, Sears Holding, said it'll close 68 total in the summer.
Well, so, you know my big gripe with Kmart.
What?
You remember?
The blue light special?
No, I had. At one time in like 93 or 94. For some reason, somebody said, Kmart stock's really low. You should buy some. And I, without even thinking, I did. And I actually thought, it's low. Kmart's not going away. Anyway, around 97, 98, they canceled their stock. They canceled it. So it literally went to zero overnight. Zero.
How can you do that?
I didn't know you could. Like, in fact, yeah. What's really funny, I called a stockbroker. And this was somebody that I didn't even know a stockbroker. I just dealt with Fidelity directly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I found out somebody, who's good stockbrokers? And he said, oh, I got a guy at work. He's really good. And so I called him. I said, hey, my Kmart stock got canceled. What does that mean? And I mean, long pause. Like, yeah, I heard the same thing. And I don't even know what it means either, but I don't have any of my clients in Kmart, but I'll find out. Anyway, apparently it's legal. You can just declare your stock to be worthless. What's outrageous, though, is they reissued stock like 2 years later.
Well, it sounds like
they
it's
do that.
Like Chapter 11 for stock, which
no, I still am not quite over it.
Well, wouldn't they be indebted to those people?
I thought so. I mean, I certainly felt that they owed me something.
Can some smart person out there explain it?
Yeah, I had like, I want to say $4,000 or $5,000 in Kmart stock, and just all of a sudden it was zero. In fact, I was waiting for my next statement to see what it said.
What year was it?
It was in the 90s, I think.
Okay, I'm just trying to look.
And the next statement, just Kmart didn't appear on it. It mentioned the transaction, you know, but it didn't. There was no Kmart listed. It was just gone.
It's like Kmart just moved out.
Yeah.
The divorce was final. Kmart just disappeared. Erased any. And then next thing you know, you see him dating someone else with a bigger dick.
Reissuing their stock.
I know. It's like dating someone else. Crap. That's funny.
Yeah, brother.
I'm just reading about the new imaging with the Martha Stewart, Kathy Ireland. And remember this part? They had Rosie O'Donnell as a spokesperson.
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell. That's right.
Yeah.
It seems to me that didn't go so well.
No. Wasn't that part of the whole Tom Selleck thing with the guns? Wasn't that over Kmart or no?
Yes. Yes, it was. Yeah. Mm. I just saw her in... It's a movie about a high school reunion that she's in with, like, Matt Dillon and...
Wait, you watched it?
It was on cable. It was just, like, the least bad thing on. Timothy Hutton is one of the guys. I mean, it actually wasn't a bad cast, except that it was sort of weird that she was in this high school reunion because I never believed in her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
When she say, Tom Cruise.
Everybody sounds like that.
She does not talk like
Louis Anderson.
Tom Cruise is gonna mow my lawn.
Oh, that, I forgot about that.
Tom Cruise is going to mow my lawn. Oh, my God. I'll be so excited. Oh, he's going to take his shirt off and mow my lawn. Oh. It's like, you're not attracted to him. Cut it out.
What movie is this? I want to know. Sounds like crap.
It's not a bad movie, actually. It was not that bad. I'm trying to think of who some of the other people were. Timothy Hutton.
It's funny. I forget that she was in...
Michael Rapaport.
A League of Their Own.
Oh, yeah. It's that piece of shit.
She was also in The Flintstones. I forgot about that. It's Betty Rubble. Was it Now and Then?
Yes, Now and Then.
I'm just looking at names of movies. That sounded like a reunion movie.
Are you looking at, like, Rotten Tomatoes?
No, I can't. I was just looking at Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what its rating will be.
Well, let's see.
I bet it's not that bad.
Its budget was $12 million and it did $37.5 million at the box office.
I bet it's like $65 million.
Reviewers or
reviewers. Audience? Review, okay. Audience.
The audience is always higher than reviewers.
Audience, 82.
Reviewers, 19.
Oh, man. But 82 is the audience score.
Ooh, Christina Ricci's in it.
Wait, is this the right movie?
Yeah, Christina Ricci's in it.
I'm not sure this is the right movie.
Now and Then.
Who are the guys? Is Timothy Hutton in it? He's not in it. No, this has Uma Thurman and...
Well, it's not Now and then.
No, it's not.
You got to start writing these down.
You know, Who,
is it Beautiful Girls?
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah, Michael Rapaport, Mira Savino, Uma Thurman, Natalie Portman. How is Rosie O'Donnell in this movie?
That's what I mean. It was weird.
Box office, $10 million.
Ooh, ouch.
Hmm.
Well, when a movie from 1996 comes on cable and you've never seen it, that's not a very good sign.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was a bad movie. Oh, it got an 81? The critics gave it a 79. See? I wasn't off my rocker on that one. That was kind of Bob Hope low. I wasn't off my rocker on that one.
There was a movie that bombed this weekend. What was it?
I wasn't off my rocker on that one.
Wasn't there a movie in the news that bombed?
Oh, it's pretty good. Pretty good movie, Beautiful Girls. Timothy Hutton always gets me. And Michael Rapaport's got a real edge, doesn't he? Any something?
And that Uma Thurman, man.
And she finds, she got some curves, let me tell you, Uma Thurman.
Oh, that's, Snowden was out this weekend about Ed Snowden.
Oh, how did that do?
Starring, really good actor and Joey Levitt.
Uh-huh.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Right. It bombed. I heard it bombed. Yeah, $40 million for the budget, did $8 million.
What?
At the box office, yeah.
I would have thought that was a lot of interest about that.
Well, isn't it kind of hard when it's the second weekend of fall? I mean, why would it be released then?
Well, I don't know about release dates and that sort of business. It just seems to me it's a fascinating topic. If you can,
Snowden, yeah, and he's a great actor, and it's Oliver Stone.
But I don't know what Oliver Stone has done in the last 10 or 15 years that really hit the mark. I mean, it's been a while since
JFK.
Oh, my God. That is quite a movie, by the way.
It's a fantastic movie. The only problem is everybody believes in the conspiracy now because the movie was so damn good.
And his conspiracy was completely different than most conspiracies.
You don't forget he did W about Bush.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
It was a good movie. Very good.
It's really funny.
World Trade Center.
When we were talking about JFK conspiracy theories, and I said something about, it just came out of my mouth. It's like, yeah, what about that one Kevin Costner came up with? Thinking of Jim Garrison.
Oh.
Kevin Costner played him. You know, Trudy and I always suggest that we get so much of our history from movies, and we really do.
Uh-huh. People believe it. Any Given Sunday. That was 1999, though.
Any Given Sunday. That's a football movie.
He did Wall Street, the new Wall Street.
Yeah, it wasn't,
sequel.
Very, wasn't very funny. It was funny at all. Oh, these are all the Stone movies? People versus Larry Flint. That was good.
No, he's got a great track record of making great movies.
Yeah, Larry Flint's a good photographer, let me tell you.
Born on the 4th of July, The Doors, Natural Born Killers,
The Doors was great.
Those are all really good movies, or at least entertaining movies.
My sister screamed at 8 days a week. The Beatle movie.
She knows it wasn't live, right?
Yes, she knows
they couldn't hear her.
She didn't care.
That's adorable.
They couldn't hear on Ed Sullivan either, and she was screaming then.
That's adorable. Speaking of music, do you want to see my mom's 8-tracks?
Yes, yes.
It's a little dusty.
Oh, she's got a case for
it. I know.
What a nice case she had.
Let's see. Here you go. I'll toss them to you. You can read them.
Yeah, what do we got here? Yeah, Donny Osmond, Alone Together. Hey, there's a hit.
Oh, my God. Some of these are really embarrassing. Some of them are kind of cool. Here, this one's not bad.
What I got there?
I'm trying to see the... Although, I don't know if I know any of the songs on that album. I know his other stuff. Cat Stevens!
Buddha and the Chocolate Box. There's some good tunes on here. Oh, Very Young.
Oh, here you go. Carpenters, Now and Then.
Woo! It's got all the hits, doesn't it?
Look at the pictures of them. Oh, wow, the tape's messed up inside.
And that Richard Carpenter's a real fag, if you ask me. I'm not supposed to say that anymore. He's kind of lighting his loafers.
Logan,
you know what I mean?
Loggins and Messina. I know. There's not some very...
She's definitely a soft rocker.
I know.
Hey, it's your mom. She's allowed to soft rock out.
Jim Croce. Come on.
I knew Jim Croce was coming. I knew it.
Do you guys want to guess other artists?
I'm really pissed I didn't say Jim Croce. There's got to be some James Taylor.
John Denver.
Carol King.
Hang on.
There's going to be John Denver and Carol King in there.
Let's start with John Denver. There's a John Denver in here. This is Flashback Greats. Okay. No John Denver,
no JT?
No Carole King.
No JT? It's got to be JT in there. Yeah, show me that fire and rain. There's a real uplifting tune for you.
There's some better. Oh, my God. Here's more Carpenters.
Bee Gees.
Any much no Bee Gees.
Rod Stewart.
No. Maybe I should start pointing out the cooler ones. Jackson 5 Greatest Hits on 8-track.
Not bad.
Right?
Not bad.
We'll take that. Beach Boys, yeah, Endless Summer.
A little fruity.
Beach Boys, Endless Summer.
That's all right.
Two Carly Simon.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I
Hot Cakes. No Secrets.
Anticipation.
Ann Murray.
No, she said there's no.
I got some anticipation for you, Carly.
Oh boy, Cher.
Carly.
Cher.
Cher.
Half Breed. Cher.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves on there.
This is my mom's 8-track collection. Paul Anka.
Oh, Tonight Show theme?
Having my baby.
Oh,
what a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. Oh, nice call, Jay.
That's on track 4. Oh, Neil Diamond. There is no Neil Diamond.
No Diamond. Rosie. No. Rosie, no. You love Neil Diamond.
This might be the worst.
What?
Barbara Streisand.
Oh, ouch.
Make sure you pronounce it right. Streisand.
Is there any Kris Kristofferson in there?
No, but she loved Kris Kristofferson, Drew.
I knew it.
Loved him. That's funny you say that. Like, that was her. I think she thought he was hot. What is this?
Chris Kristofferson.
What is this? I've never even heard of this one. Never heard of him.
Ferrant and Teicher.
Have you ever heard of them?
They were writers, I think. I'm pretty sure. but they had a hit.
I have a feeling Mazzaway would like all these.
Wait. I think they have a hit called Tighter and Tighter, maybe?
Hot.
Look up the song Tighter and Tighter.
Go for it. Did they write Go for it?
It actually wasn't a bad top 40 song. It was like 1970. Tighter and Tighter. Alive and Kicking. Can you crank it, Jay? Yep.
Is this a good song? Are you digging it?
It's not a bad song. It's a top 40 song.
Is it on my mom's A-track?
She should have it. She'll like it.
On that,
she's listening. She's really enjoying this.
Don't they have the track listing?
No, it's not on there. It's the wrong band. I had the band name wrong.
Who the hell is this band?
I think it's all jumbled up in my memory these days.
Oh, I know this song.
Christ, I'm 100 years old.
Hey, did we guess ABBA?
Oh, ABBA. That's a great guess, Jay.
Oh, ABBA. ABBA.
Marvin Gaye.
No.
Probably some Motown in there.
There's some Motown.
A Smokey Robinson?
No.
Stevie Wonder?
No.
Diana Ross? Supreme?
Getting closer. It's a good song. Nope. She's got Aretha Franklin's Greatest Hits.
Oh!
Come on. That's okay, though, right? No. Through the second song on the first program, remember 8-tracks have programs? Eleanor Rigby.
Ooh. Revolver?
No, it's Aretha Franklin. Her
version. She did. Oh, okay. Yeah, the Beatles, when the Beatles were really hot and were having all those singles that were hits, everyone covered them. I mean, there would be 10 major artists covering the same songs they'd put out 6 months ago. And like.
You're telling me that, yeah.
What's his name? Wilson Pickett, you know, for example. They put out Hey Jude. He put out a version like 6 months later that was a top 10 hit.
Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits.
I was going to say Simon and Garfunkel.
Pretty sweet.
Fifth Dimension. Oh, my God. This is this version of Eleanor Rigby by Aretha.
Yeah.
Oh, Fifth Dimension.
It's kind of cool.
Not bad.
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Yeah, cool.
See, she's not totally terrible. Charlie Rich.
Earth, Wind,
and Fire. Behind Closed Doors.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
There's only two more, no.
Commodores?
Oh, she has Dawn.
Oh, Tony Orlando and Dawn.
No, it's just Dawn.
She liked that variety show.
No, Tony Orlando.
It's a great variety show. I was on there a few times myself.
And then finally, American Pie by Don McLean.
Knock three times. On the ceiling if you want me. Twice on the pipe. American Pie with the big thumb.
It's not as bad as...
I don't think many of these are making it into LaDuff's catalog.
Oh, I don't know. He'll take American Pie.
Yeah, maybe. Actually, Gladys and the Pips. I like Gladys and the Pips. It's some nice tunes.
Simon and Garfunkel, solid.
Can you put in...
what's this one? This I didn't read. 22 Explosive Hits.
Hey Jude by Wilson Pickett. With Greg Allman. No. The Dead Allman, not Greg. Dwayne Allman on guitar. Actually, that was one of the... This song helped the Allman Brothers get their record deal. Because they were blown away by Greg guitar playing on it.
Still not the best cover of the song, though.
Hey, oh, Jude. Tiny Tim by a mile. Don't make it bad. Hey, Jude. Take the sand song and make it better. Remember to let in your heart. And you can start to make it better. Yeah. Hey, Jude. You were made to go out there. The minute you let under your skin, can you begin to make it better?
Bob Hope karaoke.
Anytime you feel the pain, hey Jude, refrain. Don't carry it up, bitch. For you know that it's a fool who plays the cool by making the world a little bit colder. Wicked Wilson gets off on the big refrain at the end. Hey
Jude, it's a pretty cool cover.
Don't let me down. Yeah, not bad. Funky.
You found her. Now go.
Go get her, Jared. Go get her.
But remember to let her in your heart.
Then you can start.
Then you can start.
To make it better.
To make it better.
Yeah.
So let it out.
And let it in.
Hey, you. Begin. You waited for someone to grow on with. And don't you know that it's just you? Hey, you do. The moments you need is on
your shoulder, Jude. Right there.
This verse, when McCartney plays this, I hate hearing this verse because this is the verse where Lennon comes in.
Oh, really?
The recording, yeah, it's both of them singing together. Reminds me of that fuck. That stupid fuck that shot him. Mark David Chapman,
what an asshole! You don't go assassinating rock stars, Chapman. What are you doing?
Yeah. There's Dwayne jamming a little bit there. I think anybody could get into the Judy more than Paul McCartney. I'm trying to think if I have a favorite Beatles cover. There's so many, and most of them are so bad. You know what? Cat Stevens does a pretty good Long and Winding Road.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he go in the middle of it?
I mean, like Peace Train. Right on a Peace Train.
Hey, Jude.
So dumb, but I love it. Tiny's
version is just crazy.
It's so bad.
McCartney did a... There's a like a triple CD of people covering McCartney songs.
Jay, can you pop me up?
That's why Cat Stevens did Long and Winding Road.
Cha cha cha. Hey,
that Miss Becky was pretty hot though. Let me tell you.
Cha cha cha.
La 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 la.
Hey, go get him, Tiny.
Doing. All right, Drew, can you remember the name of the band that played with Tiny Tim on this album?
Oh.
Hey. Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start. Go ahead, start, Jude. Get better.
Hey, Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her.
Come on, get her, Jude.
The minute you let her under your skin.
Oh, man, better. This is bad.
And then he turned you to the face. Hey, Jude.
Did we miss the hey, Jude part?
No, this is the very beginning.
Did we miss that?
Did you hear it?
No.
One more time. From the
end. Hey, Jude.
There it is.
Hey, Tiny, get it together.
Cha cha cha.
La na na.
Cha cha cha. La 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 la.
So bad.
La la la.
Try Cat Stevens. I think this is good. I'm not sure though.
Didn't Shatner cover them?
Yeah, I did Lucy in the Sky.
That's right.
And
but he's not. He wasn't trying to be good, was he?
No, I got kind of tired of those because at first they were really funny, and then I realized he's just doing that on purpose.
That was one or two. There's a couple other ones we didn't name, like America, Horse with No Name. It's almost like that was a staple album. That and Peter Frampton. Frampton Comes Alive.
Yeah, I would say
great album.
Rosie should have liked America.
She should have.
Yeah.
This is like the first new material I've heard from Cat Stevens since 1970.
Is he still Cat Stevens or is he Yusuf Islam? Isn't that
Yusuf Islam?
Yeah. I've seen that road. Remember seeing him on CBS Sunday Morning not that long ago.
And I watched that too.
And I fell asleep. What?
I don't want to hear his Islam crap.
I like his. You know, who doesn't like?
I love his music.
Who doesn't like Father and Son?
Oh, awesome tune. The best. The best he did.
Morning is Broken.
They're all great.
I sing that one annoyingly every once in a while at home.
Morning is Broken?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're the first one up, just be an asshole. Open up all the blinds.
Morning is broken. Has left a pool of
tears. I don't know if I like him singing this for some reason.
Something doesn't sound right.
No.
I generally like his voice. Doing almost anything. You know who does a really good... Billy Joel does Baby I'm Amazed on this.
Really?
And actually, pretty damn good. That'd be a really hard song to cover, I would think.
So did... didn't Eddie Vedder cover that?
Did Eddie Vedder cover that? He's covered... You know what he covers is I've Got a Feeling.
Maybe that's...
Let It Be. I know he covers that.
There's one Beatles song... I know he's covered with Pearl Jam, and it's he can't hit the notes singing it.
Oh, I think that's I've Got a Feeling.
Okay.
It's got that one part where McCartney goes way high.
But it's still a cool. I just love Eddie's voice, though.
I've got a bunch of Beatle outtakes with them doing I've Got a Feeling, and McCartney's just nailing it over and over, and John has kind of a cold, and so they keep doing it over, and Paul's just singing his guts out, and John's got a cold. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you. Maybe I'm amazed at the way
don't like it anymore.
You pulled me out of time. You hung me on a line.
You like this or no?
Maybe I'm amazed at the way I think I do.
Do you really? Is it because you like the song or it's
no,
good?
No, I'm pretty fussy about it. I mean, I heard like 40 songs on this disc, and I didn't like many of them. But this
like
is it, really hard.
I feel like his eyes are going to pop out of his head.
The problem with these songs is they're so... I think people are so... you've heard them so many times, they're supposed to be that way.
Yep.
And then somebody tries to change them. He's very loyal to the song, which I think was... kind of surprising. Oh, Eddie Vedder does Blackbird? Oh, you know what? Eddie does a good job on You've Got to Hide Your Love Away.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's really good.
It's such a good song anyway.
Yeah, it's a great song. Yeah, Lennon has a lot of...
Especially if it's live with a crowd.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling too what small. I love all those Lennon acoustic songs from this period. They're so damn good.
Stare, each and every day.
Have you ever heard I Don't Want to Spoil the Party? Very obscure Beatles song. It's very much in this vein. I think he called it like Son of You Gotta Hide Your Love Away, except it wasn't You Gotta Hide Your Love Away.
Hey, you've got to hide your love away.
It's a kind of have a falsetto on there?
Why should I even try? I can't never win.
You know, it's funny. I love Pearl Jam so much, and I like Eddie that I feel like I probably like almost anything they do. And then I remember, like, they're, one of their biggest hits is a song I absolutely hate.
Last Kiss?
A little swore there. I absolutely hate that song.
It's so funny like that it. That would be a big hit for them.
I don't
just
like
never,
no.
I'm surprised they like that song.
I don't know. They play it all the time live too. I
mean, when it becomes a big hit, you have to play it.
Yeah, but they're ones that can mix around. I mean, they mix around their set list like crazy, but they always seem to play that one.
See if you know this song. I bet you don't.
No audio. I think so. Strip the audio.
Ooh.
Hey, find that audio. Yesterday, stat. I want a spoiler party, stat.
Apparently, Eddie also covered Magical Mystery Tour for a Netflix series.
Oh, really?
Inspired by the Beatles, called The Beat Bugs.
Oh, this is instrumental.
It's an animated children's show. Good, now I have a reason to watch TV.
Is it good?
I don't know. I'm just reading it now. Let's see, who else covers them? Vetters counts himself among the contributors covering Magical Mystery Tour. Oh, it just premiered in August.
There's no version of that song?
Chris Cornell covers
something. They did pull out of Beatles off YouTube. I mean, they're almost stripped from YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
Except for that one guy that plays every part.
That guy.
I love that dude.
Oh, he's so cool.
He's this big fat guy, and he plays all four instruments, and he puts them in different corners, right?
Yes, yeah.
He's dead on, man.
I know, that's so funny, until he sings. Now wait, could we get it on another place besides YouTube? Couldn't we get it on?
So I'm looking.
That's why they took it off here. That's why they took it off YouTube, because they.
And this is supposed to be better. Or this is a trailer for the Beatles.
I love when McCartney does that live.
So it's apparently, I don't even know it was out. It's on Netflix. Apparently some kids cartoon show where they have 50 covers of Beatles songs.
You know, is positively amazing.
I know Char's going to be watching.
Jay does not give up easily.
You find it?
There are so many versions of I Don't Want to Spoil the Party. It's incredible.
They all suck.
The Smithereens might not be bad. That might be your best option. But I can't believe, can't we get it on Reddit or something? Or not Reddit, Where were they putting their songs up? Anybody remember?
The Beatles?
Yeah, they
iTunes.
Well, they said
they finally broke down on iTunes and did it, right?
Well, I'll pay 99 cents to hear it on iTunes.
So they probably charge $1.27.
I'll pay $1.27 to hear it on iTunes.
Ooh.
I'll break down.
See what Smithereens got here.
Yeah, maybe you'll recognize it. But the Lennon voice on it is so perfect.
There's nothing for me here, so I will disappear.
Get out of here.
It is $1.29.
Please let me know.
Yeah, $1.29.
I'm about to
have a drink or two, and I don't care. There's no fun in what I do if she's not there.
Where's that bitch?
I wonder what went wrong. I waited far too long.
And what was the Smithereens? Like big hit that I would know because the band sounds familiar, but I can't place anything.
Well, my favorite Smithereens song is "House We Used to Live In."
And they had "Behind the Wall of Sleep."
Just a memory.
God,
just a memory.
None of those sound familiar. All right, Jay, can bop me up.
You know "House We Used to Live In." You know that song?
Yep.
That's a great song. That's
there's
a great song.
Too. I'm trying to remember. There's another big hit they had.
This is the house we used to live in.
Well, there's John.
I would hate my disappointment to show. There's nothing for me here, so I will disappear if
she turns up while I'm gone, please let me know. I've had a drink or two and I don't care.
Familiar with this?
There's no fun
never
in
heard
what
it?
I do when she's not there. I wonder
I like
what
it.
Went
never
wrong.
Heard it though.
I've waited far too long. I think I'll take a walk and look for her. Though tonight she's made me sad.
How about those harmonies?
Her, I'll be glad. I still
you can hear both voices.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil the party, so I'll go. I would hate my disappointment.
A lot of the early songs, they sing together all the way through. That's the Everly
so
Brother influence.
If she turns up while I'm gone, please let me know.
You're pulsing way down low. Kind of a country feel, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Rockabilly, maybe?
Yeah.
So tonight she's made me sad. I still love her. If I find her, I'll be glad.
Why Paul singing high on that part?
Though I've had a drink or two and I don't care. There's no fun in what I do if she's not there. I wonder what went wrong.
Paul's dad taught them how to sing three-part harmony.
I think I'll take a walk and look for her.
As you might hear on songs such as This Boy and... what's the song on Abbey Road? Oh, Because they sing three-part harmony.
This is the Smithereens song, I remember.
Girl Like You?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard that song, Jay. Behind the Wall of Sleep?
Yeah, you should see this.
You know what's funny, Mark? I don't know if
you
know.
I just, you know.
Which what I always thought was funny about the Smithereens, their bassist, Mike, when he was still in the band, was just like a spaz. He was all over the place. Everybody else was just mellow, you know, but Mike was the standout all over the damn place. Here, watch this, Drew.
I have a Smithereens story. It's very sad.
Oh, really?
Yes. They're a great band. I love these guys.
Watch Mike go.
Oh, I know this song.
You know what that bass player reminds me of? Remember the YouTube video of the overenthusiastic drummer at the wedding who's like spinning everything?
Yes.
That's what the bass player reminds me of. I know why you like them. They kind of sound a little bit like a more upbeat Elvis Costello.
Yeah, Pat D'Anizio's voice does sound a little like Elvis.
Yeah.
What's your story about Pat?
Oh, you know my story about Pat?
I know what happened to Pat, so I don't know if that's
what happened to Pat?
Well, just the weight gain that he had. He had medical conditions, and he got gigundous.
I didn't know that. Then? I did not know
he
that.
He got huge.
Well, the Smithereens, when they were breaking... I was wearing a WAAF.
Yeah.
And the personality was on right after our show. We used to talk for about 10 minutes a day before she went on the air. And she's a good friend. But anyway, she had a little thing with one of the Smithereens. And they were just breaking at the time. They weren't a huge band. So anyway, she really liked this guy. They'd come around about every 6 months or so, and she'd hang out with him for a few days. And he used to call her from the road. In fact, he'd call her on the hotline all the time. And then and all of a sudden, one day, he didn't call. And then he didn't call the next day.
Oh, boy.
And then he didn't call the next day. Or the next day, or the next day, or the next day, or infinity days.
He was, just,
blew her off.
Is he getting famous?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. And now he's huge, so he's probably trying to call that same number, but it's disconnected. Yeah. Like Corey Feldman's number.
He's calling the hotline. She's at another station now.
I wonder what she looks like today.
Good question. I'm afraid to find out.
Pat, what's his name? Last name?
Pat Denizio.
Yeah, I want to see what he looks like. Whoa. See, he have surgery on he's bigger.
How about house we live in, Jay?
He's, oh, yeah. Well, ooh. Yeah, he's big.
Let me see.
You sure you
he's
want
not
to?
A big guy when I know him.
I don't know. He's not that big. I don't know if he's that big.
Okay. Oh, what the hell?
That's him. He's not hiding behind that guy. That's him.
What the fuck? That's Pat Denizio?
Apparently.
Get the fuck out of here. Why isn't he losing weight playing live?
Maybe he hasn't had enough
gigs.
Oh,
my God.
Look at him here.
What? Come on.
That's totally up.
He's got to be 400 pounds.
He's pretty big, man.
Look at the jangly guitars.
Justin, let me play at Studio One there. Sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Just wanted to see what he looked like.
I like the call and response part at the end.
Mm. Yeah!
How was this not one of Rosie's 8-tracks?
This is way too... She had kids by now. Well, never old, got to, older kids.
She never got to New Wave.
I think most of it stopped at like 78.
This song reminds me of 414 Lee Street in Blacksburg, Virginia. Where unspeakable things happen. This is the house we used to live in, where I would share my life with you. House that we used to live in. It's weird seeing a video, isn't it?
Like of everybody there, Mike just does not fit in. Is everybody?
Yes.
I mean, it's a great band, all that, but I mean, you know, compared to everybody else.
Hey, call respect part's coming up.
I wonder how that classic MTV is doing.
Oh. Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. I was all pumped up for it, and I don't think I've ever put it on.
I haven't either.
Like, remote control was coming back.
I loved remote control.
Seen that on there.
The start of Adam Sandler. Remember he was on there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you her.
Oh, right now they're showing My Girl.
It's a calm response part.
You ever see this movie, My Girl?
Yes.
Macaulay Culkin dies. Spoiler alert. Right? Isn't it him?
Yes.
And now that's the chick on Veep or something.
Hey, it's a Smithereens, everybody. Now she's 11. It's on her podcast. I don't know why. Playing old Smithereens tracks for no reason.
You devil, you. Treat my friend like that.
I don't know. I think it's got a little ways to go before
classic MTV.
Before it's as good as.
Oh God!
Let's go for it. Come on, let's go for it. We got nothing to lose, so baby, let's go for it. Come on, let's go for it. Wow. What a grim moment on national television. I think about it, the more stunned I am that the Today Show actually chose to let them play that shit.
Should we call the booker at the Today Show and find out about it?
I don't think it's a bad idea.
Find out what the process is and how it was decided that they would. Because I'm sure it's not on a major label.
I think they were spoofing them. I think they just thought, this will be so bad, it'll be memorable. I really believe that. Because they're not that stupid.
If that's the case.
Oh, Corey Feldman's got a new song. How cool.
If that's the case, that booker gets a raise.
Absolutely. No. Look at all the attention it's getting.
I couldn't think of anything I'd want to see on the Today Show until now that I know their summer concert series might just implode on people.
I think they just thought they were getting a bad song by an 80s star, and they figure if they say, hey, remember Corey Feldman, the movie star from the 80s? He's got a band now, and he's going to play after this break. They figured, well, who's not going to want to see this train wreck?
That's funny. They
didn't know they were getting the horrible dancing and the other stuff.
Well, apparently the music booker for the Day Show has not been there but more than a year.
Hey, he's bringing in some of his great new ideas.
Wow.
I mean, that was so bad. And look, it's getting all this huge response online, and Corey Feldman is just feeding it even further.
I know. He should have just not made a comment on it.
No. Well, does he think that this band is going to do something, like go on tour and draw crowds?
Yeah, I would assume so, right?
You know, I could not stop trying to seek out more information on Sean from the snowboarder. Sean White.
His shitty band.
His shitty band. and what happens when they tour. So I started going back and looking up dates and then finding reviews in the local papers the next day. And they were playing for basically like 100 to 150 people.
Really?
Yeah. On like a 50-city tour.
Oof.
And what's really pathetic is the reviewers, I think they expect so little because Sean White's, you know, what's that going to be? And they're not horrible. I mean, they're not as embarrassing as Corey Feldman's band. I mean, I would almost call them a real band, not by much. And I'm not even sure if they are a real band. But, you know, they're trying to write their own songs, which... How can you draw more than 150 people writing your own songs? A snowboarder?
Yeah.
I mean, they're still just going there to see Sean White's band, aren't they really? He's not even the lead singer.
Just to see Sean White, period. Yeah.
I just wonder what percentage of Sean White's net worth he was willing to put at risk to throw his band out there. Because this is the funny thing. He was paying the musicians salaries. Now, they couldn't have been making shit.
I'm sure they were overpaid.
Oh, of course, he paid them way too much. The girl that he got in the spat with, she was suing him for $3,700 a month, which was her salary.
Wow.
He was paying her $3,700 a month plus per diems when they were traveling.
Road. Yeah, I'm sure she didn't pay for the hotel room either, right?
No, hell no.
All that crap.
So you know he lost a chunk of money on that. But his celebrity net worth is?
50?
40.
40 million? Yep. Really?
He makes $10 million a year.
Doing what now, though?
Sponsoring stuff, don't you think?
Oh, snowboard stuff, yeah. Skateboard stuff.
You know, since he got his hair cut, he looks like more of an asshole.
Wasn't he in a movie and playing an asshole too?
Oh, was he? I didn't know that.
Am I confusing him with somebody? It's like an ex of a main character, and he was kind of a dick in the movie, and now I feel like he wasn't even acting. How's he spell his name? Is it
W? He's on IMDb. I think you're right, Mark.
And I think it's a good movie. Let me
look. It's like First Descent.
That's it? Maybe it's not.
See, 2005.
I liked him when he had the long, crazy hair.
When he was the Flying Tomato.
With the short hair, I think he thinks he's hot.
Be the Flying Tomato again.
What, Friends with Benefits?
Yes. Yep, that's it.
Oh, wait. Yep. Who's in that movie? I know that movie.
That's with Timberlake and Mila Kunis. Mila Kunis.
Oh.
And she used to date Shaun White, and he was a dick, I believe.
That's right.
Hey, what's up, man? What are you doing here?
You look great. You've been working out?
Nope, just been eating a lot.
Okay. Yeah. You want a drink?
Yeah.
I'll get you a drink.
Yeah. So when's Ashton Kutcher going to dump her?
Hey, bro, that was like a double McTwist 1260.
Oh. Yeah, like the drink.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it. I give him 3 years with her.
His fucking skull.
Sorry, bro. No disrespect. I'm a huge fan.
You don't fucking know me, man. Don't talk to me like you know me. What, you think I'm all chill because I snowboard and shit? One more word. I'll fuck you up like dynamite.
Dynamite?
Oh, I'm just playing, bro. Any print of Jamie's is cool with me. It's all good, man.
All good.
I'm whispering in the ear of a dead man. See you later.
He whispered that part.
So now knowing that...
Right.
If you're really a dick in real life, you shouldn't play a dick in a movie.
No. And after reading some of the things he said to the girl suing him, it's like, okay.
Oh, is that grim?
Do you think they'll introduce that clip into the into evidence? A total asshole?
I don't think they have to. He gets the job done on his texts. Yeah, he's obsessed over telling her what she should wear and how she should cut her hair, which is, he's the rhythm guitar player in the band. Okay, I know it's his money, but who is he to tell her what she should wear? And then he even says stuff like, oh my God, don't ever wear that around me again. Like it's just killing him.
Didn't he try to make out with her at a Halloween party too, and she rebuffed his advances?
Yes.
Ah!
That was the last straw.
Ah!
And that was, I think he went real south on her after that.
Nobody smashes the Flying Tomato. Nobody says no to the Flying Tomato. Remember, he was breaking bottles too, and somebody said, "Hey, you're washed up, pal," and he got really mad.
Oh yeah.
Oh, what a dork.
Washed up.
Relax.
What a funny term.
Washed up. What a great thing to yell to somebody on the street too. Hey, you're washed up, pal.
Somebody said that about us.
What?
Yeah, somebody.
Is it Thomas Fiorini?
No. He's much classier than that.
Oh yeah, of course.
Somebody said it was on. Oh God, the Bit Buzzboard.
Oh, okay.
No,
that carries even less weight.
I wasn't
now.
Terribly hurt by it, but it was really funny. It was like. So, how did they put it? Something like, those washed up guys at Riff are doing a podcast now, huh?
Washed up. Oh, whatever.
And the funny thing was.
It's funny because Buzzboard's usually really positive and encouraging.
Oh, I know. Buzzboard, actually, we get a few pages on there, or we had a few pages on there. They were pretty nice. I didn't read
really?
Them. I didn't read them, but somebody told me they're incredibly nice for Buzzboard.
I take it back.
Oh, don't take it back.
You guys don't want to get caught inside with Sean and Bad Things, Murr.
Oh,
that's funny. That song, it does not stick with me then. Is that you're talking about the song?
That's the one that we watched.
I don't remember the song at all. And frankly, I don't want to hear it because I'd rather have Go For It stuck in my head.
Yeah, this is the song that they tried to suggest was their hit.
What they played live on The Tonight Show, right?
Yeah. Got referenced in a couple reviews.
It's not nearly as bad as Corey Feldman, is it?
No way. Okay. Not even the same planet.
This is a 20-part harmony. How many people are singing?
The girl he assaulted, the girl he tried to make out with. And his lead singer, who also thinks he's hot.
Is he?
Hey, he's got blonde streaks in his hair.
Is he?
Isn't that kind of gay?
It's a little old now.
I hate this band. They suck. They're terrible. What are we doing going an hour 55 on part two?
Have we lost have?
Yes.
Are you shitting me?
No.
Max War.
Wow. You sure you reset that, Jay, from part? Wow. Well, I'm unemployed. I got nowhere to go.
Wait, time out. Jay, does this guy have words tattooed on his eyelids?
Yeah, I remember we saw that last time.
Oh, really? What's it say?
What does it say? It's really stupid because you don't see a person's eyelids that often.
Does it say sin on one eye and bad on the other?
Oh, let's see.
What's it say?
It's like fart almost.
Yeah, I thought it said fart.
Fart face. Fart on one eye, face on the other.
It's a D something.
That'd be kind of cool because then you go, hey, and then wink both eyes and it'll be like, hey, fart face.
I think it's ferret, actually. Yeah. F-A-R-E-T. What? Maybe? I don't know.
Maybe it should be washed and up on the other one. Drew, there's the ad for my new favorite show. I can't wait to see it.
What show?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Realize he has no business running the country?
Kiefer Sutherland
is this Drac?
We've just been attacked.
Rip it.
What if they're just getting started?
I forget the name of it. It's the worst idea for a TV show. War.
We are going to do this my way.
Or the highway.
The designated survivor.
This reminds me of 24.
It's designated survivor, and what he is, he's the one cabinet member who doesn't go to the State of the Union address in case everybody at the State of the Union address dies. And that's what happens.
No.
So he's automatically president, but he's not prepared for the job until he is, because he's the designated survivor. Coming this fall on ABC.
Who would win, him or Jack Reacher around her?
Jack, yeah. But doesn't that look like the worst show in the world?
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous.
And I like him, too. Go back and jump on a Christmas tree. That's the only video I want to see of him. That show just sounds so bad. And ABC and the networks wonder why they didn't win anything at the Emmys, hardly.
No, him jumping on the Christmas tree, I was trying to remember why I had seen that before, and it wasn't just because it's online. It's on YouTube, isn't it?
Him jumping
in a hotel lobby. It's also in a documentary.
It is?
Yeah, there's a documentary of him. He's trying to break a band through Europe.
Really?
Yeah, he's like traveling with the band, and I think he's basically managing the band.
Huh.
And that's that in that little tour through Europe, I think he's bombed off his ass. That's when he jumps into the Christmas tree in the lobby. Is on that.
Very likely.
I think it's on a documentary. I'm pretty sure. Can you verify that, Jay?
There's a tree.
Hey, Keith, you a pirate, man.
That would explain everything. Come on.
That looked like fun. You know, have you seen Bright Lights Big City?
Not in the last 10 years. No.
I just love, it's funny, his character, Ted Allagash. Mm-hmm. Tad Allagash, I think, in that movie. He's Michael J. Fox's best buddy, but he's like his devil friend, his devil shoulder friend.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect casting.
Yeah, it was really good casting. I thought he was great in that movie. In fact, that was really one of his early good roles. And at the end of the movie, Michael J. Fox, he married Tracy Pollard. Is that her name?
I don't remember. No.
Tracy Pollard? I think that's her name. Anyway, she plays Tad's cousin who's coming to visit Tad, and Tad has a hot date. So he's like, hey, man, could you occupy my cousin for a couple of hours?
Occupy?
Tracy Pollen. Yeah, not Pollard, Pollen. And so she's pretty cute. So he's like, yeah, okay. And so he goes out with her, and she asks him, so what do you think of Tad? And he's like, well, Tad, you know, he's a good friend. He's always there to go out with and do stuff. And she goes, I think he's an asshole. He goes, yeah, he's an asshole. Which he is. He's a fun asshole, though, in that movie.
Still an asshole.
You try to sense these things, and I'm sure I'm wrong a lot of the time, but I sense that he'd be a good guy.
Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah.
Has he ever gotten in trouble or anything?
Oh, yeah, he gets in trouble. Drinking. Sure, he has his issues, but still seems like he'd be a fun guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's, I mean, seems like he's having a blast.
I don't think he takes himself that seriously.
Obviously, he's doing Designated Survivor this fall on ABC. Anybody take themselves that seriously, they're doing that.
You know, it's got to be so hard to be in that world where, you know, you have to always have some project coming. And
he's loaded, though.
Stay in that world. I would assume he is very loaded, sure.
It's almost like it's Jack Bauer, 24. Well, you said that the other day we were watching. It looks like 24 again.
But if you don't have your... If you don't have that next project, you know, if you go too long with the next project, then you're out. You're done. It's like, oh, he hasn't done anything in years. It doesn't matter that he hasn't tried anything in years. He hasn't done anything in years. So it's sort of like if you want to keep playing the game, and those people, you know, they can't just live on their laurels.
Jay, what's his celebrity net worth? Do you know?
Who's this?
Kiefer Sutherland.
I predict it's really high because of 24.
Oh, it's got to be enormous.
I'm going to say $70 million.
70? Well, then, see, he doesn't need to work anymore.
No, he doesn't need to. 75. Hey, I'm pretty sharp on my
really good at that.
I think I've got it down.
See, well, so he doesn't need to work.
No.
So why would he do? Man, watch this show be really good. Designated Survivor.
Yeah, once you get past how absurd the concept is.
I know. Hey, it could happen. If Trump's elected, this could happen.
I'm declaring this bonus podcast to be over.
All right.
But I want credit for this, for going later. 2 hours. That's crazy. We've gone a total of 3 hours and something today. I don't even know why, although some of it was music. But I think you found it entertaining because you had our commentary along with the music.
Or you just skip past it.
So there.
And here you are.
Ryan Ermani tomorrow from Fox 2. Boy. And who knows, maybe a cameraman with him and maybe a story on Fox 2 one of these days. We'll certainly let you know. Have a good night, everybody, and we'll see you.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Let's adopt the U of D slogan. What is it?
For a boundless future?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody have a boundless tomorrow.
See ya.